Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What up, everybody? 10 a.m. 10:04. I'll give Landfill some credit there. 10:04.
It's not.
The
people who are hearing this at 10:05, there's a delay. It's 10:05. Fail.
10:05 in the District of Columbia. We're all one big happy family back in studio. Me and Brian here in the prison cell. The boys are in the aquarium. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Hold on. Let me ask you a question. Did you see how you run a 4-minute offense last night?
Sure did.
10 minutes, 27 seconds. 21 play. Let's run the ball. 94-yard drive to close it out and leave it with no time on the clock.
I mean,
they didn't win me any money because they didn't win how they were supposed to, but they won the game and they closed it out in great fashion. Over 400 yards rushing.
Well, how about this, too? We talk about injuries.
Uh-huh.
Cleveland Browns last night.
Injured.
Nick Chubb. Top five running back in the game.
Yep.
Out.
Hunt, as good
Kareem
as.
Hunt.
Very good.
Top 20 running back in the game.
Damn sure.
At one point in time, he was a top
damn
five back.
Sure.
Out. Starting quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Out. So, all sorts of other injuries.
And
what's my guy's name? D'Ernest Johnson?
D'Ernest Johnson is a bad man.
Baller.
Dude, he had everything, dude. Shifty. Vision. You know, speed. He was able to set people up. The guy, you wonder why a guy like that went undrafted. You really wonder, how the hell did he go undrafted?
Now, it helps when you got horses on your offensive line, but he balled out.
Hey, but most of his runs last night had less to do with the offensive line and more to do with the way he was shifty as hell, man. You saw he shook up Pat Surtain the second or third, junior, whatever. He got some stuff with him.
Well, and it helps when your coach will commit to the run game.
Yeah.
Regardless of result. I thought that was a really good win for Cleveland.
Look at you, man. You're starting to learn that football stuff. Dude, talk that. Talk
listen,
that talk.
Everybody can talk. Like, I love Johnny Cakesawville, and all he wants is receivers and quarterbacks and points, points, points. But if you can run the football and control the clock, you can win football games.
If you can run the football, you can score points.
What's your fight with Rooster, Landfill?
Rooster thinks 17 points is a good number of points to score in a game, and
it's
disagree.
It's a good number of points to score in a game.
No.
When the
no.
other team scores 14.
Who is Rooster?
Chris Russell.
I think Rooster don't know much about football if he thinks 17 points is enough points to score.
Mm-hmm.
Because they
got last night.
I'm going to say they got that last night because they were playing against a team that couldn't fight out of a wet paper bag. Normally, 17 points will get you a loss.
Yes.
Joe Gibbs said 3 touchdowns. 1 field goal, okay? And I'm going to take Joe Gibbs' mindset over Rooster, whatever Chris want to call himself that day.
Rooster claims he knows more about football than Jay Gruden, though.
He did claim that one
time. He might know more than Jay Gruden, but he don't know more than damn Bill Belichick or Joe Gibbs. I know that for a fact. So he can talk till he gets blue in the face, but I'll never take his mindset. 17 points, if you score 17 every game, based off of the offensive rules in the NFL, you're going to lose probably 15 of them out of 17. This is no longer 2000 when people will run the ball 700 times, unless you're in college. Because my team sure did that last night. We had over 20, 10-yard runs or more. We probably had about 15 or 20 of them.
Do you recall that my system.
It ain't got nothing to do with your system. You just lucked up last night.
That was my system to a T.
That was lucked up.
You offered me a $1,000 bet. I should have taken it.
You didn't, though.
I did not. Sure didn't.
So, in other words,
I did have
you don't have a system.
I did. No, I bet on it.
Whenever your system
I
is
bet on it.
Whenever your system is challenged, we find out that your set runs back into your stomach.
No, you try to Michael Jordan me where you put a bigger offer out than I'm willing to
if
make.
You had
I bet $20 on it and won.
If you had taken the bet, you would be $1,000 richer today. And then you could be trying to get that bike instead of telling my guy to give me a bike.
I bet $20 on it and won. But then I gave that 20 back on damn Case Keenum not getting 219 yards passing. Thanks a lot, Pete Haley. That was Pete's lock of the week.
Oh, so you have a system, but you listen to Pete.
Yeah.
I think your system is flawed.
Brian, we've known each other a long time. My system is clearly flawed in all capacities.
Oh, man.
There is a big elephant in the room I want to get to. A couple things, though, on my list. Caps just casually kicking ass again.
Hey, man. That's what I'm talking about, man.
Caps are in first place in the Metro Division. They've played four games and won three of them.
Uh-huh. And I think I sneaked.
And they had an OT loss in the other.
I snuck in a bet last night.
Caps bet?
Yeah. Just $50.
Just $50 on them to win? Money line?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. That's the way you do it.
It felt good.
It wasn't a system. It just felt right.
Hey. Cool.
Yeah.
Here's me celebrating your win rather than trying to belittle it. Way to go, Brian.
Nah, man, because you could have won $1,000.
Wiz play tonight.
Lauren
home opener.
Got 800. You could have kept 200.
I mean, that'd be generous. Wiz home opener tonight. I hope that's an electric crowd. I will not be there. I got to go to Milwaukee in the morning. Shout out, Biagi offered me a ticket. I can't go. You want to go? Call Biagi.
I can't. All right. I told you, Friday night is date night.
That's right. Friday night is date night with Monica. I have moved forward. I am no longer antagonizing the beautiful Monica Mitchell.
Like I think I ordered her a pink 9mm. Just in case you call her Miss again. Because Bria got a pink 9mm.
Cody, what color are your mom's guns?
They're all silver.
All silver. Okay, good.
My daughter got one pink. I said, why you want a pink? She said, I want to see fire come out of a pink gun.
Landfill, what color are your guns?
You got to go with black. That's the way to go.
Do you have a gun, Landfill?
Not anymore. Got rid of them.
Whoa, not anymore. What do you think? I sold them all? All right, that was good gun talk here on 106.7 The Fan. Paul Henry, we do the reads for him, but his boys are at my house.
Is Brian in it?
Those guys couldn't be nicer, more professional, like cool, funny.
Oh, they're cool as
it's
hell.
It's wild. Watching a window get installed.
But the thing about it, when you see them pop it out and get ready to pop it, you go, it seems easy.
Right.
But you and I will be on the same window for the next 4 days. Dude. 5 days. Well, week.
Yeah. It was, remind me, I don't want to say it on the air, but I texted Paul to thank him and just say what a great job the guys were doing. And we had a very funny text exchange that I'll show you during a break.
All right.
Let's get to the elephant in the room, shall we?
Nice hat.
Thank you, bud.
That's the elephant in the room?
No, unfortunately. Listen, let's go scale of 1 to 10. We'll go around the room.
Okay.
Scale of 1 to 10, how bad is it that Washington's record is 2-4 through 6 games?
Scale of 1 to 10, how bad it is? I think many people that looked at this schedule before the season thought it would be probably right here.
Okay. So you got it.
Even when we thought the defense was good, we were going through it, we felt they would be losing to certain teams.
Yeah.
And we gave them chances. We gave them chances against the only game that I think we hadn't picked was we said this could be a toss up was the Saints.
It was just one or two plays in that game.
Huh. One or two that they want to admit.
Scale of 1 to 10, they're 2-4.
Yeah.
That is a 6.5 out of 10 bad?
5, 6, yeah.
Okay. Scale of 1 to 10, how bad is it that they statistically have the worst-ranked defense in the NFL?
That's a 10.
That's a 10, because that's supposed to be their hallmark. That's supposed to be the way. That's supposed to be the wagon to get them through the wilderness.
Yeah, that's a 10.
Is a staunch defense. All right, so we got a 10 out of 10 on how bad their defense is, a 6.5 out of 10 on the record. How bad is it that week one a rainwater pipe burst and spilled, at best, stinky water on a bunch of fans? How bad was that?
That's a 10.
Well, and there was video of it, too, which really doesn't help.
That's a 10.
Ask Kareem Hunt how much of an impact video can make.
That's a 10.
That's a 10. What about when the DEA rolled up on the facility and,
I think
and raided
you can,
it?
You can play it down like, oh, man, we judge us by where we going. I can judge you by where you're at right now. And when a DEA rolls in on you, no matter what the fact that the DEA rolled in, that's a 10. It's not good. It's not a good look.
There's a lot of – are you keeping track of these numbers, Cody? Are you writing this all down? There's a lot of numbers are starting to add up here, okay? There's a lot of 10 out of 10 on the bad scale. What about the colossal series of mishaps, blunders that surrounded the retirement of Sean Taylor's jersey?
You know what? I'm going to have to change the number from 10 to 15 because I think that is that was bigger than what anybody wants to let on. Because I think when you start looking at it, just the mere fact of the things that the way you got to it, and then once you got to it, the pitcher, the shortness, you know, it wasn't playing like we see most retirements playing. So, and then again, like I think Landfill said it the other day, if they planned the things that we saw, that's even worse. So I'm going 15.
Okay, 15 out of 10. You keeping track of this, Cody? We got to be up to like 170 by now. What about, how bad is it, all these emails that are leaking from former team president Bruce Allen that just completely illustrate the inappropriate and toxic workplace culture that existed within the Washington football team for two decades?
The thing about it, for me, the reason I don't know if I'm going to go 10 on this, because I think we knew a lot of stuff that was going on. It's just now we are seeing proof of certain things.
Sure.
A lot of things have always been discussed. 8.5.
Okay. So all of these things combined, really in the last month, last 6 weeks, last 20 years, last year. I mean, however you want to do the math, however you want to divide up the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
How bad is it now, Brian? We're not talking about the team hires a lawyer to do an investigation. Oh, wait, the NFL is going to take over. We're not talking about the team. We're not talking about the league. We're not talking about, you know, a bunch of lawyers here in D.C. that are representing clients that feel they were mistreated. We're not talking about any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Landfill? We're talking about the United States Congress. The big old building that's about five blocks away from us that has fences up and security guards and, you know, people get elected from all over the country to represent their districts.
Mm-hmm.
The United States Congress. Well, when you talk about the United States Congress, and listen, I'm no political reporter. There is the Senate and the House. Right? We're all aware of this. I don't think we're blowing any doors off here. In the House, there is something called the Congressional Oversight Committee.
Mm-hmm.
These folks go after problems all over the country. It's made up of 25, 30 members. They hold hearings on things like equal rights, veterans records request.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole of partisan politics or any of that. But by and large, the Congressional Oversight Committee goes after things that are broken and tries to illuminate why they're broken and how you figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the newest order of business is over from the Congressional Oversight Committee?
Something to do with this football team and the NFL, how they handled a certain investigation.
The Congressional Oversight Committee is launching an investigation into the NFL's handling of the Washington football team's hostile workplace culture.
You know why? Because every time there's an issue where they feel they can get protected, they've run to Congress to try to get things situated. For years, the NFL was a nonprofit organization. Okay? How that happened, I don't know. But then those rules changed, so I think they've left that. But still, they have a bunch of people that seem to allow them to do things that most businesses can't do. So at this point now, I think that there are people saying, you know what? We've always done good for you. You're always talking about the players are role models. You got to worry about how kids this, that, and the other. I think they're probably telling them, you know what? You need to be some role models too. Because we're in a situation now where women's rights and you know, minorities' rights and all that stuff is at the helm. And if you're going to just go through an investigation and say, we're not letting nobody else see what we saw. You know, no. We want to get that. See what I'm saying?
Sure.
So it's basically holding them to the fire. I've said for years, the NFL always holds the players out there and accountable to keep things going how they're supposed to. I think everybody should be held to the same damn standard. Owners, coaches, GMs, all those people. Roger Goodell, all of them. And they haven't been. But the players are held to a standard. It's about time that you know what, you start bringing the rest of them in to the same little thing. If we're going to hold them, we need to hold you too. Because in this day and age, owners are known as much as players. They're always in front of a camera. Roger Goodell always running around town. He's a rock star. So you need to be held to the same standards you're holding your players to.
I checked it. Listen, I'm not a congressional reporter whatsoever. I checked in with a number of people about what exactly can the Congressional Oversight Committee do? Because my initial reaction whenever I hear politicians getting involved in stuff like this, they're just looking for headlines. It's just some grandstanding. They're just trying to grab some spotlight. I'm not so sure on this. This House Oversight Committee is no joke.
To be honest with you, the spotlight has already been put on this.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to dive further into this. We have a former ambassador joining us to explain how the politics work on all this stuff. Here's the biggest question maybe for Washington football team fans that know it's been broken but are trying to move forward. What the hell does this mean for a D.C. stadium? We're going to dig into all of that when we return here on B. Mitch and Finley.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Pumped up kicks. Football Friday on B. Mitch and Finley, presented by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most.
There you go.
All right, Brian.
Take care of the fam.
At 12:45, Ambassador Howard Gutman is going to join us to talk about the congressional nonsense. And listen, I talked with a number of kind of friends and people I know that work in politics on the lobbying side, people that worked on the Hill for years and years and years, people that understand kind of the institutional workings of Congress.
Yep.
And, like, the overwhelming odds of this thing leading to something are fairly slim. But this is the same group of people that got Roger Clemens, Rafael Palmeiro. I mean, they have subpoena power. So if they say
when
Dan
you act
Snyder,
like you're bigger than the law,
yeah,
is when they normally come out.
Yeah.
And then right now, when you look at the fact, everyone was waiting for this investigation, Bette Wilkerson investigation. Then all of a sudden, at the 24th hour, they come out and say, we want an oral report, and we are not going to be releasing the information. You think people in Congress and that committee were not waiting for the information to come out and hit the papers as well? Then all of a sudden, when you start getting the leaks, and there are many, many rumors about where the leaks may be coming from.
That
and
me.
Then the NFL, like, we're not releasing anything. You got 650,000 emails. We don't know how long the report actually was. And you go, we're not showing you anything. you didn't think somebody going to say, we've been waiting on that. You know, it's like every piece of information you want to know, a salary of a player, their weight, their age, their whatever they've ever done in their life, you can get it.
Their hand size.
But every time it pops up when it comes down to the team and the owners and the GMs and the commissioner, everything is always kept away. Nah, I think the same thing. If you could just open up my life, you should be able to open up the rest of their lives too. And this is what – there are many people waiting on this. There are a lot of complaints out there, a lot of lawyers that were waiting on some information, but you say, no, we're not giving it to nobody.
There's a lot of women that came forward and
yeah.
You know, probably some legitimate emotional damage from all that they had to deal with. And yet here we are with nothing tangible. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of people are bothered by that. If you look at who's...
When you act like you're untouchable, you get more people coming after you.
It's easy to look at... So the two Congress members that sent this letter to Roger Goodell, it's a woman from New York State and a dude from Illinois.
Where is the NFL offices?
New York. Sure. But what my lobbyist friends told me is more important. The dude that signed on to this is the subcommittee chairman. And the woman is the chairman of the whole damn thing.
Mm.
So they're showing a show of force and a show of unity. Like, yo, show up. We have subpoena power. Take this seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Help me with the name, Landfill. Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez? AOC. Well, mm-hmm. I don't. Thanks, Landfill. Can one of you Google it? My computer's messed up. You can tell how much politics we talk.
Yeah.
But I know she wore a dress that said, say, tax the rich or eat the rich when she was at the Met.
Mm-hmm.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I think I got that.
You were close.
She's on this committee.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me if they can make it happen where they get Roger Goodell and Dan Snyder up there with a hand on the Bible testifying,
mm-hmm.
What are politicians like? Headlines, media attention, showing that they are doing the people's work.
But I think this
How much headlines would that get?
I don't think this is just more about the headline. I think it's more about you had a high amount of women complaining.
Totally.
And
I don't want to sound dismissive that it's just about
headlines. But basically what happened was you had a report by a lady that you basically cut off at the knees and said, thanks for your report, give us an oral one, and nobody's going to see this. And then basically, remember I told you before, I said when you've always rather a coach call you into his office and talk to you than your teammates say something to you? Because I remember when Coach Gibbs called me in his office one time and I went in and I came back in the locker room. What did he say? I dictate what he says. He's not going to come tell him what he told me. So I was saying, well, he said this, that, and the other. But if your peers, your teammates come after you right then and there, you have to face the fire. So basically that's what the NFL did. They had a report. They had the information. And then they say, oh, we're going to tell you what the report said. So all these women felt like they were not taken serious. And then you have women in Congress who are not afraid of the quote-unquote good old boys network and how things have always been, and they make noise. And I think that's what you do. You make people make noise when you don't show them respect, you know? And I think that's the ultimate thing. I think I forgot the exact way it was said. I think it was Martin Luther King basically talking about until everyone is treated in a fair way, you're never going to have, because when you're not giving the minorities price the right thing, eventually you're going to have some uproar going to happen. And I think that's basically what's going down right now, that we have not shown enough respect to be able to be given that same respect.
And so here is, and so everybody knows, I've put requests in to interview these Congress members.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be very interesting. I don't know. I'm not going to ask them about infrastructure planning. You know, God bless our guy Ben White. I hope he's okay. That's a prime dude to talk to about this. Mm-hmm. But I can't help but think about, and we know this, Brian, you and I both know this to be true. The new administration of the Washington football team is much friendlier and cozier with decision makers on Capitol Hill than the old administration. We know that to be true. Mm-hmm. I know that to be true. But damn it, this doesn't make things more difficult if you're trying to get a stadium in D.C. that most of the big lots of land that are available are federal lots of land and controlled.
Could that be the reason why they want to have these meetings or discussions? Because if we're thinking about doing something with you, we need to know for sure that you're doing the right things. Well, we're not going to give you permission to go do something on federal land if you're not doing the right things.
Exactly.
So that may be it.
And this is a text from my boy Perkins. He says there's five local officials on this committee from the DMV. There's five congressmembers on this committee. Mm-hmm. So I just think if you're trying to get a stadium back in the city and you've done all this work to get back in the good graces of the federal government, mm-hmm. you dropped a name, you made some statements, all these sorts of things, and then all of a sudden you're getting called up to the principal's office. I can't help but wonder, Brian, who is leaking these emails and why? Peter King mm-hmm. suggested it could be Peter King's theory is that maybe this is Dan Snyder putting out a hit on Bruce Allen and the Grudens.
But like,
if he did that, it opens Pandora's box.
Yeah, but that's what I said last week.
How short-sighted is that?
I said if that is the case, that wasn't well thought out because after all the stuff had gone down, things started to dissipate. But then you brought it right back into the forefront. And I think when the things popped up, it made people, the little bit that came out, it made more people say, I want to see more. Listen, if you're listening to my voice now, did you not get thirsty for more information once you saw the little bit that came out? And I think that's the whole thing about it. A lot of times we don't know how to let, what that little thing, leave well enough alone.
Sure.
And I think we had gotten to, in a sense, well enough, but then you start trying to, I'm going to make sure I pile on and show you. And when you do that sometimes, that, like when you point that one finger, they say you got the fingers pointing back at you. That happens. A lot of people start gunning for whoever they think did something. And I think the little information now makes people want to get all the information.
Whoever's leaking this stuff.
It was what? One, two, like four or five emails that were leaked?
Yeah.
So how juicy that was? So we got 649,995 more of them. You think you won't find no juicy in them? So maybe the five should have stayed where they were, and then now people wouldn't have to be trying to get the 650,499 of the rest, 65,500, whatever it was, how many emails it was. A lot of damn emails. Let's just say it like that.
A lot of damn emails.
Yeah.
Whoever leaked these emails, I can't get a hold of it. I can't get a grip of you with these glasses. I know I'll get used to it, but I'm not used to
you
it
won't,
yet.
Because I'm about to get rid of these. These too strong.
Let me try. Let me look. Let me give these things a ride.
Try these. Same strength. You can have them.
Landfill, how do you think I'm going to look in these glasses? When I read that Blue Chew ad, I might need glasses.
Yeah, you might.
So, all right, we have different needs because whatever your issue is bad for me.
It's just for looking close to read it.
I feel drunk with these things on.
I know. I felt like that with those too. That's why I get
this. This ain't it.
You can have those.
Whatever's happening right now, I feel drunk and very discombobulated.
Well, that may be just a byproduct of last night.
No, it's not. I had a show. I got home at 9:30. I went to bed at 10.
You lie.
I watched the end of the game. So whatever time that was, 11.
He just lied to us for once, so he'll lie to us twice.
I wasn't drunk last night. I feel like I'm pretty open with you when I'm drunk.
I mean, you look like it most times.
I'm not currently, and I wasn't last night.
You look like it most times.
We'll open up the phones. It's time to get into the game, okay? 11 o'clock, we're starting our breakdown. We're going best player on the field, best player offense, best player defense. Mitch mm-hmm. Tischler will call in with his big man breakdown, looking at both offensive lines. plenty to discuss. The Washington football team takes on the Green Bay Packers on Sunday, and the Washington football team takes on Congress at some point. We'll find that out, too, next on The Fan. Love me some George Clinton. Landfill's doing
come
some
on, Landfill.
Weird shimmying in good. There.
Step, Landfill.
Football Friday, baby. Football Friday on B. Mitch and Finley is always presented by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. My guy Johnny in Fredericksburg wants to talk about Congress. Johnny, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. This is Johnny from Fredericksburg. Look, I'm not very big onto like what goes on with the things, but I do got to say that from what I read when the news broke yesterday, that Congress has this law called the Mann Act in which they allow to people check. Pretty much it's just people checking to see if people get trafficked for girls. So when they're stealing these people's passports or the women's passports, they're not allowed to really do that. And pretty much what I'm saying is since the Washington football team does get funding from the government, these people are allowed to be able to check their emails.
Does the Washington football team get funding from the government?
I thought some sports do. Like I said, I'm not too big on that, but I know that.
I don't know, man. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I don't know if they get funding or not, but I know.
I mean, maybe
I know a lot of rules that were made that kind of made them basically tax exempt for years. That was by Congress.
Right, and then I think the NFL was like starting to catch enough heat. They're like, you know what? We'll pay the taxes. No problem. Yeah,
so they got out
of
it.
Did that happen?
But I guarantee you, they were tax exempt for a while. They were non-profit organizations.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, they are still getting major kickbacks.
Well, and there's all sorts of tax breaks and
federal
land.
They're not paying the amount of taxes we're paying. I promise you that.
Congress had to pass a law to let the NFL and the AFL merge back in the day. So I feel like they might still have some leverage.
You know what I do know? You know what I know that is very convenient?
What's that?
When your father ducking computer just does a software update in the middle of a radio show. And
you didn't push anything?
No, it just did it. You know what I probably have pushed over the last week is delay, 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 delay. And then eventually they're like,
so
F you, dude, we're doing it.
It bleeped you. It told you, bam, one
right.
Finger salute.
There's another computer right in front of you.
Listen, this thing might look like a computer. This ain't no damn computer. This is, I could play Oregon Trail on this computer.
Yeah, speaking of government, I think it's from the Clinton administration.
Yeah, I mean, this computer is unaware the internet exists. Like, this computer uses AOL instant messaging. That's what this computer does. So, calling this a computer is unfair to computers.
We should reach out to my man, John Creedon. We might be able to get us some Apple stuff in here.
Yeah, we'd love that, John Creedon. Like, Paul Henry could install a window, could redo my entire house with Windows in the time this computer requires to send an email.
We'd love some Apple stuff or really just anything made in the last 25 years. We'd be cool with that, too.
This computer is the car equivalent of the
8-track tape.
The 1988 Ford Taurus my mom drove
8-track?
When I lived in North Carolina.
8-track?
It had a tape player. It was a big deal. My mom used to rock out to ABBA. Listen to a lot of ABBA back
ooh,
then.
Lord.
I feel like that was... That computer that you have in there is like back in the 60s, whenever they had a computer and people were really excited, so they'd be like, look at our computer.
Right.
That's the computer.
Like in Mad Men, when they buy the first ever computer.
Do they still make Acers?
And it required a whole room.
Are Acers still so?
I think Acers are like a Chinese knockoff computer, right?
ACER? Is it still? That's what this is right here.
Somebody that can Google things, Google if Acers are still made. Cody, what do you got?
I can confirm they are still made, and that was actually the first computer I ever owned, an Acer.
Okay. What year was that?
Like 2008?
Yeah, it's probably the same year this joint was
and
built.
And we know computers go obsolete in 6 months, 6 or 7 months. And you said 2008? That's 13 years ago.
I am confident my phone has more computing power than this so-called computer.
I think a Commodore 64 has more computing power than that computer.
I always hear that thrown around. I don't know what the hell that means. What is a
computer
Commodore?
From like this, the 80s?
Okay. Remember the first Macs that were just that giant box you could like carry them around?
Mm-hmm.
I remember those.
The terrible ones that they put in my elementary school in 2000 would be better than that.
Sure.
The weird semi-translucent
Landfield is undercover. You know, he can do it. He knows a lot of stuff about computers. Like our buddy Jerome. I said, Jerome, He said, man, I got my first computer. I said, what you do with, when you got your first computer, what did you do? He said, I took it apart. I'm like, why? I wanted to see how it worked. I said, then what you do is I put it back together. Who thinks about taking a computer apart?
Those are things I never think to do. Hey, this machine's working.
You might have broke it.
I'm not going to mess with it. That's how I feel. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I need to get in the zone for a Football Friday. I need to get in the zone for Washington trying to pull off this upset on the road in Lambeau Field. Could you use that zone, B?
Yeah.
There's one person that's going to help us get in that zone.
All right, let's go for it.
All right, Rev T, you got one full minute. Rev T joins the program. What's up, Rev?
God dang, JP, it's Feel Good Friday. You got me on the time limit. Well, hey, Nashville, if you got that music ready, then let's go. When I rise through the morning sunshine, I ain't got nothing but the Washington Football Team going up the Lambeau Field on my mind. And what got to happen at the 1 o'clock hour is they got to grill the cheese on the offense. They got to go up there and grill the cheese on the defense. They got to go up there and grill the cheese with the special teams. But most of all, I sell it to the young and I sell it to the old. In the final minutes, in the final rounds of the Lambeau Field, wherever you are, you got to stand up and grill the cheese with all your brand new gold power. So if you're listening right now, I want you to pump your chest and say, hail to the Washington Football Team. I believe, grill the cheese, grill the cheese. Y'all know who this is. The people's hype man, Red T. Grill the cheese. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. March with me. Ow. Love somebody.
Appreciate you, Rev. That got me right where I needed to be. Landfill.
I never heard grilled cheese when you talk about the what you got. I'm going to go get me a grilled cheese today.
I could go for a grilled cheese.
Don't they have a new burger going on? With
I feel like Five Guys
cheese?
Could grill the hell out of some
they
cheese.
They have a burger out there with the double grilled cheese. I think I saw a commercial last night.
Well, let's get to the bottom of that if somebody has Google that works. I don't. Rev T, appreciate you. How can Washington grill the cheese? Let's find out next on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.